thing to George Bailey. Help him, dear father.
Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy.
Please bring Daddy back.
Hey, welcome to Christmas at the Movies. Come on. So excited that you're here today. If I haven't had the chance to introduce myself, I'm Pastor Rick, and my wife Natalie's here, lead pastor here at Bridge City Church. So amped that you're here. We're kicking off a brand new series, Christmas at the Movies. How many of y'all like Christmas movies? Okay, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to yell out your favorite Christmas movie, okay? Okay, I'm going to count to three, and I want you to yell out your favorite Christmas movie. Okay, you got one? One, two, three. Yeah, I like that one too. Come on, somebody. Yeah, come on. Hey, today is all about It's a Wonderful Life, and it is my favorite Christmas movie. I just like it. You need to watch it. Now, how many of you have watched It's a Wonderful Life? Okay, good deal, good deal. I'm going to pray for the rest of you. Lord God, I pray for every hand. Now, my second favorite Christmas movie is the Christmas Carol, but the Muppet Christmas Carol. That gets a response. Come on, that gets a response, yeah. Now I must admit, I like Hallmark movies too. Okay, I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm good. I'm about six deep right now. Six. Yeah, there's this awesome thing did you see the one about the executive from New York? Yeah, okay, you saw that one. Come on. And I'm enjoying them. I just like it. Because why? We like to feel good. Now, I know that many of you are wondering right away here. You're wondering if we're really going to do the Christmas movie of all Christmas movies. Die Hard. Okay. Now, how many of you wish we would do that one? We'll save that for a men's event later. Come on. We'll do that one maybe for a men's event. Yeah. But Christmas at the Movies here. And we're just going to have fun over the next weeks. And on your seats there, and this is going to come up later, I want to mention it here, Christmas Eve, the 23rd, we're doing candlelight Christmas here. And there's invites. I want you to invite everybody you know to come and to participate. It's just a great opportunity on Christmas Eve to slow down, to stop, to remember what we're doing at Christmas time. Amen? So how many of y'all know somebody that you can invite? How many of y'all are sitting beside somebody who should invite? Come on. Yeah. So I really want you to take this and invite somebody to come. And that night, here's a novel idea. We're going to do a movie, the Nativity movie. Wasn't that a novel idea? Come on. That's brilliant, isn't it? Come on. And so really, I want you to invite some friends, invite some people to come there. And it's a wonderful life. Now I'm going to help some parents out there. You're wondering what a good theme, what you can do for your kids. And this works all year round. And the overarching theme kind of goes like this. Like, God is good, life is hard, your attitude is a choice. Like, if you have kids, write that down. Like, that should be the tattoo, the first tattoo they get. Come on, right there. Yeah, God is really good, right? And life is hard. But your attitude is a choice. So we get to choose how we're going to respond. Now, that's kind of the overarching theme. That's really not Christmas. That's called life. Y'all living life? Yeah, that really is. That's just called life right there. Right there. But so here's the big idea, though. That's the overarching theme that's going to come out. But, like, the big idea of it, it's a wonderful life. A wonderful life believes, it really believes, that we are created by God and for God, that we are chosen for an assignment, and we are called to community. If we can keep these things kind of like moving in our lives, and this is what I want to unpack for you today with this movie, It's a Wonderful Life. And it really believes that we are all these three, chosen by God, but I'm chosen for God. And that, yeah, I have an assignment, and you have an assignment. I want you to look to your neighbor right now. Look to whoever you're sitting by and say, you have an assignment from God. You have an assignment from God. That's right. You do. you have an assignment from God that only you can do, and that we are called to community. That's how God calls us in community. So here we have this movie about George Bailey in a place called Bedford Falls. And I'm warning you, probably Mary, the mother of Jesus, is before, it's probably going to slip out of me that she was from Bedford Falls too, but she wasn't, okay? I keep getting all these things confused. Bethlehem, Bedford Falls, the whole deal. And it's a cool movie. Jimmy Stewart, who played that, was originally from Indiana, Pennsylvania. And he said actually the set reminded him of his hometown in Indiana, Pennsylvania. That's where it reminded him there. But here's a quote from Jimmy Stewart, who played George Bailey here. And it sums up the entire movie here. "I've heard the film called an American cultural phenomenon. Well, maybe so, but it seems to me there is nothing phenomenal about the movie itself. It's simply about an ordinary man who discovers that living each ordinary day honorably with faith in God and selfless concern for others can make for a truly wonderful life." That sums it all up right there. That really, really does. Ordinary people can make a big difference, but we don't realize we're making a big difference. And we don't realize what life really is all about. That's what this theme, and this is really what our lives with God is really all about as well. So George Bailey, he gives up his dreams of travel and all these other things he wants to accomplish, and he stays in this little town, Bedford Falls. And his brother goes off, and he's a war hero. His friend goes off and starts a company making tons of money. Everybody else is living their best life. And then in a moment, while he has kids, and that's what we saw, people praying for him there, he runs this little old building loan. And how many of you are old enough to remember what building loans are? Oh, a few of us. Yeah, come on. And it really was a real thing. It was a real, real thing. His uncle loses $8,000, and George is in a really, really desperate spot right now. And he's really, really in a desperate spot, and I'm not making light of this at all. He thinks about taking his life, but he gets saved by an angel named Clarence. So we're going to pick it up with our first encounter with George Bailey and this angel named Clarence. Let's take a look.
Hey, what's with you? What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now think, just things like that. Now, how do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't worn my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I don't know whether I like it very much, being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
Yeah. Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no, we don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it. Comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else, will you?
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Oh, this isn't going to be so easy. Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, right?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say things like that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, that'll do it. All right. You've got your wish. You've never been born.
Man, life can get difficult at times, am I right? And there's times where, like, we all feel like we just can't get ahead. I feel like no matter how hard I try, I can't get ahead. No matter how hard much I do, it's never enough. Boss isn't happy, not enough money at Christmas, not enough of this, not enough of that. And it's really easy to get to that point where we just feel like we missed it. I just feel like I missed it. I feel like, man, I just missed it. And that's what George was going through here. And all, every one of us have thought at one point or not, in one of our lowest times of life, I just wish I'd never been born. But man, I think we'd miss out on the greatest gift that God ever gave us, our lives that can be lived for him. That's the hope of Christmas. And that's what I want to share with you in these next verses that we're going to read together here. This is it. Now we're going to look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, 26. I mean, how do you do a Christmas story without Mary, the mother of Jesus? I mean, I don't even think it's possible. I think we would lose our license if we did that. I mean, come on. And so here we go. You know, we need to realize we are created by God and for God. And so Mary's here in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared to her, not Clarence, but Gabriel. Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Isn't that the theme of Christmas? Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. That's the whole theme. With us. And that's one of the most difficult things that you and I have to remember. And it's difficult to remember because God feels far away. But no, God is with us. That's the story here. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. So here's Mary, the mother of Jesus, a poor young girl. All she wants to do is get married. There's nothing great. She doesn't write songs. She's not a poet. She doesn't have a great voice. It's not like she's a school teacher. I mean, she's a nobody of nobodies. How many of y'all can relate? Anybody. Yeah. Yeah, because that's like, I'm insignificant, right? I'm just poor. God's not watching. I'm a nobody. But you know what she did have? She had humility and honesty. And if we will live our lives with humility and honesty, we will go back to remember that we have been created by God and for God. But it takes a humility and it takes an honesty. And I believe this is what God found in her. And this is what God's looking for, because this is where he does his best work here. There's no special attributes about her. Just Mary. But you know what? She was favored amongst women, not above women. Now, the reason I'm bringing this up, because most of us, we think, in order for me to have a wonderful life or a better life, I need to be above other people. It creeps in there. If I had more money, and really what we're saying is if I had more money than my neighbors. If I had a better job, then name that person. If I had a better situation. If I had a better spouse. Oh, don't say that. No. No, but we think it. We think all these things. If I had this. And what we think is if I was above, and that's not what God says. He says, I'm going to make you favored amongst people, not above people. And you can find your wonderful life amongst people in our insignificant place. I mean, think of it. God brought us into this building. I don't even know how old this building is. It's older than It's a Wonderful Life was made. I mean, it's seriously old. But he brings us to an insignificant place to find one of the most significant messages on the planet about God. We were created by God and for God. And we don't have to be above. God wants us among. Because that's where he does his best work. And just maybe God put you at Brighton Heights right here for a significant purpose. Maybe he does something in your workplace right now and he puts you there because you're amongst the people he wants you to be amongst. instead of cursing them, invite them to come to Candlelight. That'll fix them. Am I right? Come on. But we don't think that way because we think I have to be above. And if I'm not above, if I'm not doing better than everybody else, then I'm not good enough. And God is reminding us he does his best work right where you live. I've been created by God. I've been created for God. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go on here. A Wonderful Life believes we are chosen for an assignment. In verse 31, here it is. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great, will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Verse 34, hey, Mary looks at the angel and says, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be born, will be holy, and will be called the Son of God. And so, but next is after you see you're created by God and for God, you have to see you've been chosen for an assignment. There's an assignment that only you can fulfill. And that's really the theme of this movie, It's a Wonderful Life. There's an assignment that he has. And whenever there's assignment from God, that means there's going to be challenges. Mary, the mother of Jesus, met all the challenges. Not only did she didn't deliver Jesus and say, well, I'm done. Did my part. Figure it out, Jesus. No, she followed him, and even after this, listen, after he suffered, and she had to watch him through suffering, she had to watch him be made fun of, she had to watch him die on the cross, but yet she was still one of the followers in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that was in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. You see, she didn't just have an assignment in the moment, the assignment was going to see to fulfillment. And God wants to speak to you today, right where you live, right where you are, that you not only have an assignment, God wants you to see that assignment come to fruition and fulfillment. See, finishing strong doesn't mean the next 3 weeks are going to be strong and then Happy New Year. No, finishing strong is going to be we're going to burn hot until we go see Jesus. There's an assignment that God has. And somewhere along the way, the assignment gets tough. Somewhere along the way, we get hurt. Somewhere along the way, it costs too much. And I watch people jump out of the assignment because it costs too much. There's a temptation to give up. There's all these temptations. But at some moment, there's going to be a time where you've got to get all in on your assignment. Now, we're going to go back to the movie here. George meets this girl, Mary. Mary, and they get married. And they just got married. They're on their way to their honeymoon. They're on their way to the big city on their honeymoon. And she has the wedding money in her hand. She has cash. Back in the day, you used to have cash. Okay, like find an older person. They'll explain that to you, okay? Cash. And so she had cash. But there's a run on the bank, and everybody wanted their money back. So George can't go. On the honeymoon, he gets called into a crisis situation. Let's take a look at what his wife Mary does at this point.
Now, we can get through this thing, all right? We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money.
How am I going to live until the bank opens?
I got doctor bills to pay. I need cash.
I can't keep my kids on faith. I've got to have...
How much do you need?
Hey! I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over to the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
No, Tom, just enough to tide you over until the bank reopens.
I'll take $242.
There you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay. All right, Ed.
Well, I got $300 here, George.
All right, now, Ed, what'll it take until the bank opens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose... $20?
$20. Now you're talking. Thanks, Ed. That's fine. All right. Now, Miss Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money, George.
Now, don't mind about that. How much do you want now?
I can get along with $20, all right.
$20, fine.
And I'll sign the paper.
You don't have to sign anything. I know. You pay when you can. That's okay. All right, Miss Davis?
Could I have $17.50?
Bless your heart, of course you can have it. You got 50 cents? There we are. 7.
We're going to make it, George.
6.
It'll never close us up today.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo! We made it. Close the door, you. Since we made it, look, look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left.
Yeah, so here we go. And I was talking about like the assignment God has. In that moment, the building alone, it was in big trouble. And Mary, George's wife, takes out $2,000. I mean, get this, in today's numbers, that's $32,576. How many of y'all ladies got that in your purse today? If so, we have our offering coming up soon. And have you heard of our One Vision campaign? December 22nd, great offering, yeah. But see, in a moment, she's willing to give it all for a greater purpose. I think many of us are trying to live painless lives when really we should start trying to live effortless lives. Where following God is effortless. Whatever opportunity he gives, I'm in. It's effortless to follow God, but it's not painless. It has pain, it has stress, it has challenges. And I think when we have our assignment from God, and it says this is a reminder of each and every one of us that we have an assignment, and you have an assignment that only you can fulfill with God. But there's going to be a temptation to do it on your own, and there's going to be a temptation, to hold on when God wants us to be all in on our assignment. I want us not only to see that's a wonderful life, believes that you are created by God and for God. But I want you to see that you got to believe you have an assignment from God. And it transcends you. Why do we give? Why do we even give financially? Because we're a part of something so much bigger than any one of us could ever do. So we love to give. We joyfully give. We come on, it's no big deal. Because it all belongs to God anyhow. Okay, let's look at this last one. A Wonderful Life believes we are called to community. Verse 36, what's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6th month. The word of God will never... The word of God will never... Yeah, come on, somebody. Yeah, and so here, it's community here. The word of God is never going to fail. But you know where we realize the word of God will never fail? In community. Alone and isolated, my problems get really big. Alone and isolated, I get very small. But when I'm with you and I look out and we worship together and we honor God together and we go reach people at outreaches and things like that. We do what only we can do together. I see, and it's not about me being big. I see God is big. It's not about me seeing myself above or bigger. What I see is my God is bigger. That's what a wonderful life is made of. Community. Because in community, we don't just get information. And if you're only wanting information from your community, you're getting ripped off. I'm telling you. Yes, Lord. But what we get in community is this. We get transformation in confirmation. See, we want information. Give me the right information. That doesn't transform you. Transforming comes through relationships, the word of God changing our lives and confirming who we really are, created by God and for God, that we have an assignment. This is what community does. You can't get this anywhere. You can't get this on YouTube. You can't. You can get information, but you can't get transformation. You can't get confirmation because they don't know you. So we got to give up those things and say, I want to be transformed in community. So let's think about all of the people that helped Mary, the mother of Jesus, be confirmed of who Jesus was. First, there was Elizabeth, who was pregnant in her old age and had faith and had a miracle. We need people who have gone before us, who are older, who have been there, that can look at us and say, trust God, you're going to make it. Am I right? Don't we? Yeah, I mean, I know when you get a little older, it's harder to find older people to say that. Come on. But you become that older person. You're the one that's supposed to have faith now. So there's Elizabeth, yeah? And then we have shepherds. Shepherd is another word for pastor, and everybody needs a shepherd in their life. To confirm the word of God to you. Did you catch that? To confirm the word. And then we need wise men in our life. We need people to bring us gifts. There's a lot of gifts right here. There's a lot of gifts. We don't like all the gifts in the church all the time. Sometimes they annoy us. Sometimes they annoy the hell out of you, and sometimes they annoy the heaven out of you. You pick. No, the gifts of God are for a reason and a purpose. So you got Elizabeth, somebody who's been there older, right, confirming. You have shepherds in your life that can help confirm and transform you, right? Then wise men, and then after Jesus was born, there's Simeon in the temple, prayerfully waiting for Jesus. He confirmed Jesus. Then there's Anna, the prophetess. You need prophetesses in your life and prophets to help you confirm the word that's already in you, not give you something new. We want something new. I love it when people come to church and they say, I just want something new. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm reading from a book that's over 2,000 years old. I'm reusing all the stuff the Apostle Paul did, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and James. I'm just using all that, you know. Are you with me? But then, so we need confirmation of all of these people in our lives, but it all happens in community. And we're trying to find a wonderful life on our own, and it's found right in community. Is that helpful to you today? Life is challenging. That's what it is. Verse 38, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. At some point, you have to accept your assignment. And you have to say, this is my assignment. I'm called to the community. So whatever God's called me to, it's a done deal. I'm going to be all in. That's what George Bailey, that's what he does through this movie, is he sees what life would be really like without him alive. And it became dark. It became a horrible place here. Now, I want to make sure you understand, it's not that you get immune to problems. Suffering. Mary, the mother of Jesus, had suffering. George Bailey had to give up his dreams for a greater purpose. But he was right where God wanted him to be. We say this saying a lot, like when somebody asks you, how you doing? We say, better than I deserve, right? How you doing? Yeah, better than I deserve. How about this? How am I doing? It's well with my soul. Sometimes it's really horrible. My body isn't doing well. My workplace isn't doing well, but you know what? It's well with my soul. It's well within me because I've been created by God and for God. I've been chosen for an assignment, and I'm fulfilling that assignment through stress, through pain, through problems, and I've been called to a community of people. That's a wonderful life. Are you with me? That's where we find it. That's it. And so we just need reminded of this. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, needed reminded, and George Bailey needed reminded, just like you and me. Do you know how we get here? Most of the stuff we do here is because you forgot. Am I helping you today? Because we forget. But we got to be reminded of what God, who he is, and the assignment, and the community, and the purpose of God. That's it right there. And so so in the movie, you know, after the angel shows up and he takes George and he shows him all about his life. that what life would have looked like without him. And so George is on his way. He $8,000. He was going to be arrested by Potter, the guy that owns the bank, and he was going to be arrested, and there was a problem. So he had an unsurmountable problem right now, owing over $200,000 in today's day and age. How many of you owe $200,000 cash right now? You'd say, no problem. But when he sees the perspective of his life, and this is the overarching theme, God is good, life is hard, but your attitude is a choice. A Wonderful Life believes that we've been created by God and for God, chosen for an assignment, created for community. So let's take a look now at when the community pulls through. They prayed. What we saw earlier is they were praying. Now let's look at what the community does for George Bailey.
Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy alone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail.
Go on home. They're waiting for you.
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody in here.
George.
Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble. And they scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions. Just said, George in trouble. And tell me.
What is this?
Never saw anything like it. Spread like fair.
Another run on the bank?
Here, George. Merry Christmas.
There we are. The line farms on the right. The line farms on the
right. Come in, George. Merry Christmas. And God bless you.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
This morning. Come on. Let's give God a great big hand this morning. Come on. God, we thank you. And how many of you are intrigued? If you never saw the movie, you might want to watch it this year. Come on. I see those hands. Thank you. Yeah. You got to pull that movie out. You got to dive in and watch it because it reminds us of what's important. I've watched that hundreds and hundreds of times, but that last scene always gets me. It gets me because you realize what life really is all about. And I'm so appreciative of the people around me that no man is a failure that has friends. That's something to remember, isn't it? And his wife helping him out there and pulling through and seeing a miracle. There's many people in the room today, you need a miracle from God. You know, December is the great revealer. It reveals what's in there. It's also the great magnifier. If you're doing great, it magnifies it. The problem is when we're doing great, we tend to take all the credit. And when we're not doing so great, it magnifies that. And we look for somebody to blame. Anybody else here like me? I do it. But I think God brought us here today to remind us of the wonderful life that we have in Christ Jesus. So God, I pray for every person here today, Lord, that's standing. Lord God, I just ask you, Lord God, to take them back to really what it means to have a wonderful life. God, remind every person here that we've been created by you and for you, God. God, remind us of our assignment, Lord God, and forgive us for thinking it doesn't include me. Forgive us for even stepping out of our assignment. For many people in this room that have stepped out of their assignment from God. And Lord God, thank you for calling us to community. Take us back to just the purity of community, God, and the joy of it. Lord, you're so good. And right now, in this moment, with your head bowed before God, this moment where it's personal with you and God, I want to ask you one of the most significant questions I could ever ask you. Do you have a moment or a time when Jesus Christ has become your personal forgiver, that you ask him to come into your life and take charge of who you are? A time when you said, my sin put Jesus on the cross and he died for me personally and I receive your forgiveness, where you know that you're a sinner. Man, your friends know it. Those around you know it. Everybody knows it. But you're like, man, I got to get right with God today. And that you want now Jesus Christ. You want to live for him. If you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or time when you have crossed the bridge to life and prayed that prayer where, Jesus, I want you to be in charge of my life. Forgive me of my sin. I want to be a follower. You come to the right place. As a matter of fact, these last couple minutes are the most important minutes that we're going to have this morning together. So if that's you here right now, I just want to pray for you right where you are. I just want you just to simply, everybody, just slip up your hand before God. Just say, God, that's me. Thank you. Anybody, thank you. Anybody else today, just keep your hand up. Just everybody else pray, thank you. Thank you, thank you. So I want everybody here to join with these people that want to make Jesus their forgiver of their past and their leader of their future. So can we all join with them today and pray? Let's all say together, Father God, forgive me, for I have sinned. I have fallen short. Forgive me. And Jesus, I ask you to be the leader of my life. I want to be your follower. In Jesus' name, amen. You can put your hands down. Let's just welcome, come on, new people to the kingdom of God. I thank you, Father. Just stay where you are right now. If you raise your hand, I'm just going to ask you, somebody may come up behind you and they might want to pray with you in just a little bit. They're going to pray for you. Because you know what? You're not just a number. You're a name. You're not just a statistic. You have a story. A story that's waiting to be told for God. And we want to treat you with honor and dignity and value you. That's why we do what we do. But you know what? I'm calling an audible. I just got something in my heart that's something so strong right now. And that was kind of all the stuff I kind of had in my heart. But I just feel like we need to take a moment today. And I believe that there's a lot of people here in this group, and church isn't over here, that just need affirmed from a father. You know, one of the things we all long for is affirmation from a father. And I know many of the guys in the room are like, I don't need that. Look at me. Yes, you do. We don't need long, drawn-out prayers. We just need affirmation from a father. So the rest of the worship team, come on down real quick, wherever you are, quickly. I know I didn't. I know you're not ready. It's okay. I'm not sure I'm ready either, but we're gonna go for it. And I'm serious. I just, Pastor Ben, I just feel like we just gotta like Pastor Gary and Donna and Natalie, you're going to be with me. And whoever else you think, just the heart of a father, I want you to point them out or just run and get them right now. Again, I'm trying to be under authority but with authority. And anybody who has a heart of a father, I want them to come here. Just, you guys come over here. You know, the worship team is going to lead us in a song. And when we were worshiping this morning, I just really sensed in my heart, we were singing a song about leaning on in the arms of God. And I'll be honest, sometimes I sing that and I don't like it. It's just, it feels awkward. Any other man in the room like, any other like me? It just feels awkward. And what they're going to lead us in a song, whatever one Aaron picks. If you just want affirmation from a father, you're going to come down to center, and you're going to find one of us up here, and all we're going to just affirm you in Christ. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to pray a long prayer. We're not prophesying. We're not like not going on and on, just affirming you, and going to give you a good, godly affirmation, hug from a father. That's all. The rest of y'all, you're going to worship Jesus. If singing ain't your thing, then you can just sit there and look reverent. That's all I ask. We're going to have order in here because Pastor Ben is going to come up and close us up officially. How many of y'all could use the affirmation? Just how many of y'all have gotten too much affirmation this week? Never really have. You got too much. I don't need any more. Dow it down. Okay, just begin moving right now into the center aisle. Begin coming down. You just lead us. Do whatever it is y'all do. And I just want you to come down here and just receive affirmation. Come on, don't.